Hey everyone, this is Alex Shibeli from the Podcast. I apologize as usual for the sporadic episode, but this is actually going to be a very special one. Today it's currently July 23rd. A lot has transpired since the last one I did. Second to last time, I was actually in Japan with Logan and Kenny Omega. Now I'm actually in my office in Orlando, Florida, with two very special guests. But before I get into them and everything, just been crazy, man. It's been an amazing summer. CO 2019 came and passed. We actually broke over 10,000 attendees. Fighter Fest was a huge success, about 4,800 people in that arena, almost tripling what we had last year. And then just the usual, as soon as that event was done, took a little break, and now already back to planning CO Taku, which is next. We got to announce Red Bull Conquest, which is great for the local scene, for Street Fighter Tekken and Unist. And then just the usual, trying to take it easy. I've been, you know, hanging out with my two guests for a little while they get situated in Orlando. But let's just, you know, jump right into it. First off, you all know him as my good friend, Kenny Omega. What's up, Kenny?
Hi, I'm here.
Hey, thanks for being here. And also, you might know him as my opponent 2 years running. Also a very good friend of Kenny Omega. Really great guy, actually, to work with. He carried me. Yeah. Hey, Michael Nakazawa. Welcome.
Hey, thank you for inviting me.
Of course. So as you guys, if you've been following my social media, I've been helping out my good friends, situate over into Orlando, getting ready for AEW's launch coming later this year, which is really exciting. But first off, later on, we'll talk about some questions I was getting on Twitter from everyone. Kenny, what have you been up to the last couple of weeks between Fighter Fest? Then we had Fight for the Fallen. Now, what are you up to?
Well, we are getting ready for TV, and so I'm just coming up with ideas, making sure that the arrangements are made, making sure we have talent lined up for the shows, and on top of that, just trying to get in a good shape. We've been hitting hard every day. You've been with me. You've seen it. You've seen the destruction. You've felt the destruction. Making sure the diet's in order, making sure that we're dialed in, and I've got my Mexican debut. This is my first trip to Mexico, and no better way to do it than on their biggest show of the year. So I'll be making my debut for AAA at Triple Mania. And I'm really looking forward to that one because it is a rematch from Fighter Fest. A match that was more fun than I thought it would be. It was incredible. Of course, I'm a little familiar with the Lucha Brothers, fought them both in singles competition. But that was my first time ever working with Laredo Kid, and he was incredible. He really brought it. And now I get to do it all over again with the Young Bucks. We're the OG elite. So for us to go back to our roots, to do the old school six man that we know and love, and to do it in my debut for AAA, it's fantastic.
Awesome. And AAA, I think they stream on Twitch, right? So people should be able to watch it. Yep.
Yeah.
AAA is Mexico's biggest event, so you'll be seeing a lot of lucha matches, some high flyers, and then of course that six man tag again. Which how did you feel about the match at Fighter Fest with those guys?
I loved it. Yeah, it's a completely different style, and we always worry or wonder, how's it gonna mesh with your own? But styles make fights, and when you kind of take my hybrid style, mix it with the lucha style, which in a way, they're so creative and innovative that their style in itself is a hybrid. So it's just two very different kinds of athlete mixing together, and it could either be a complete cluster in a car wreck, or it could be sort of a beautiful disaster, and that's what it was.
Awesome. And then also Michael Nakazawa is here. Mike, mm-hmm. You live in Japan, obviously. Yeah. You've been over here because you are an employee of All Elite Wrestling.
Yeah.
Tell me what it's been like the last couple of weeks, obviously, here in America.
Yeah, Michael.
And it's not your first time in America.
I used to live in Alabama, but it was a very long time ago. Well, getting everything ready is kind of complicated for me now, I got my visa approved so I can move in, but there are so many things I have to do before I have my wife
and your son.
Yeah. No, I don't have it. I don't have it, but I'm here staying at Alex's house, and
he takes my title, my couch.
No. Yeah. Yeah, right. I'm in bed in his house, Well, they are helping me to prepare for everything. So Yeah.
And like Kenny said, we've been working out every day. And honestly, Kenny's actually a pretty decent roommate to have while I get situated down here. And these workouts have been killer, man. I know you guys have seen some pictures I posted. People have asked me, like, what kind of workouts does he do? Just a lot of
it's
unique.
A secret!
Stuff. Yeah. A lot of unique stuff. I'll just say that. Nothing crazy. We're not like jumping off the walls or anything. He just saves that for his big matches. But just really cool, unique lifts, chest lifts, free weights, stuff like that. So it's really helped my discipline to kind of see what it's like to live with actually, you know, two amazing wrestlers, one of the best in the world, one of the best comedy wrestlers in the world, in our opinion. And it's just, it's been kind of inspiring. And I hope that kind of passes off when people see me at upcoming events and stuff, what they've kind of helped me do. So going back, you know, last year we did the New Japan show, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of fun. We had all the control basically putting that together.
A lot of fun, yep.
AEW is this year somehow, you know, with a lot more help. AEW really promoted the hell out of it. It was amazing. From my side, from a logistical standpoint, it was an honor for us to be able to use their production going into Sunday, having my team kind of use lights and audio, which made our production look incredible. That was the same production you guys used at Double or Nothing, which was a big deal. That chandelier, you know, more expensive than you all can tell. And just putting it together. But how did this year feel compared to last year for you? On the outside of it, besides the wrestling match.
Yeah, I mean, more organization. It felt like a full-blown show rather than just kind of a piece-together spot show. You know, last year, we were really just kind of, you know, we were on our own, which is fine. I liked having the control. I liked having, you know, a great group of guys that were really cool with coming out and having fun and working hard for us. So that was wonderful. But this year, you know, we not only had the support from the guys, but we had the support from, you know, our production crew as well. Which, you know, it's a little easier considering that they could, you know, they're American based, you know, they're local. And, you know, we weren't going to fly out, obviously, our entire crew from Japan to do the New Japan setup. But we made do with what we had. 10-0 guys last year really stepped it up. They did a fantastic job. You know, we were really tight on time, running against the clock, but we pulled it together. We were able to kind of at least get the show up and running within a decent time frame.
Yeah.
You know,
and we had to build it in one day.
Right, so. Exactly. But this, we were able to learn from those mistakes. And this year, we not only had, you know, a year's worth of experience under our belts, but we had the production crew of AEW who's had, you know, 30, 40 years of experience doing this stuff. So with that extra bit of time, with the equipment, with the manpower, there were no kinks at all. It was everything flowed really, really smoothly this time.
Yeah, and we had a little bit more time as well. Everyone loved every match. Nakazawa,
yeah.
How did you feel about our match? You know, coming back from last year with the my ankle injury, doing the best I could with that.
Yeah.
Much bigger crowd, right?
Mm-hmm,
you're
right.
Amazing on the
very
microphone.
Mm-hmm.
You talk trash comparing me to other events. How did you feel about that match and being the main event of the buy-in show? Like, did you feel any different this year compared to last year? Not just with me, but like, with a bigger production, like how did you feel?
Of course, the crowd was better and bigger. And of course, I had to wrestle against the same guy, you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like this year's much better for the reaction from the crowd. And, you know, last year, you know, I was just like a guest.
Yeah.
You know,
wait a minute. Reaction from the crowd, Nick. I heard from so many sources that was the worst match ever. That's what
yeah,
I've
yeah.
been hearing. A lot of people were
yeah,
so happy
yeah,
that
I,
the match had finished.
Yeah,
so you think that everyone must have been booing or completely silent? Is that what really happened? Or could it be possible that these industry experts, you know, these true fans,
yeah.
these true believers of professional wrestling, maybe they just watched it with the mute button on, or they weren't even watching it at all? Or it's just that they love their serious wrestling so much that they can't handle the fact when two guys that are just going out there to entertain the crowd mm-hmm. and had people on their feet from start to fucking finish, okay?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what really upset them.
yeah.
Is that one guy who is the best comedy wrestler on the planet, and I said, yes, the best. Number one, there's nobody better. And then you just had a schmuck. Alex Jabaley, but someone whose heart was in the right place and who put his paces in, he worked out. He got himself in shape. He actually trained for this fucking thing, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they put together something wonderful. Or should I say I put it together? I don't know. It doesn't matter. But the fact of the matter is, It was a great match. Everyone in the building loved it. Everyone in the back was laughing. Everyone was proud of these guys. But then, of course, yeah, you have to have the dudes online.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really care because I watched the footage back. I watched this match like 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Still puts a smile on my face. Mm-hmm. And I look at the crowd and I see genuine smiles. I see the messages from people who genuinely love the match. Some people thought it was their favorite match of the night, okay? And by, and for that, I'm really happy.
Yeah.
So all you people who claim to be experts of professional wrestling, are you smarter than me? Huh? You know more about wrestling than I do? Is that what it is? Because I'm telling you right now, it served its purpose and it was perfect where it was in the card. So, I mean, if you know more about wrestling than me, just let me know. Or maybe you should be wrestling. Maybe you should be booking. Huh? Tough guy? Huh?
Anyway, challenge me to another match.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, being cocky.
No, I mean, I was for what it was, I was very proud of it. Like you said, the crowd loved it.
Yeah,
I was watching one of Gutex's videos of him in the crowd with me and the kendo stick. The whole crowd was standing up for that last, you know, 3-4 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I was happy, you know, going back, I was like, hey, how'd I do? And me personally, I like to better myself. And I really was like, guys, give it to me straight. How was it? What did I do wrong? You know, I need to learn, obviously, you know, this is an art form. You have to be really talented. You have to put the time in to be able to do what these guys do night in, night out. And just selling was my weak point.
And I'll say one thing. I'll say one thing.
Yeah.
I watched an episode of professional wrestling last night. If you know when this was taped, you'll be able to figure out what episode that was. The match that you guys had yesterday was technically superior to everything I saw in that show. So don't talk about how long someone's been wrestling for, whether they've paid their dues, or whether they deserve to be in that ring or not. Because if that's the case, then what about these guys that have been doing it for 30, 35 years, for 110 years or whatever, and they still can't even put together anything entertaining? What about them? What about them? Or do they just did they get a gimme? They get a mulligan for that just because they put in the time. Is that how it works? You tell me. You let me know. Listeners, you let me know because, you know, I'm not the expert anymore. You guys are.
I mean, how can you guys not respect me? I went through a freaking table.
I don't respect that.
No, thanks. No. So we had a good match.
Yeah, we did. You did great. And, yeah.
The rest of the card was great.
Yeah.
It was great looking back at a lot of the footage from AEW, having like the CEO branding and the purpose of why me and Kenny do Fighter Fest, you know, last year's New Japan event is to bring in new fans. And a lot of gaming fans came to that for a couple of reasons. One, it was a part of the CEO event. So a lot of them came because they saw my name on the card. Like, we want to see Jabali get his ass kicked, mostly, not to support me. But they had fun and they walked away going, I cannot wait for more AEW. And that was the reason why we did it. And it was worth every minute, no matter what people online said, the crowd, the people that paid their hard-earned money to come out to the event. And again, everybody was happy with it. So moving on from that, you guys, let's talk about you guys a little bit, right? So Michael Nakazawa,
sure.
Still kind of new to the American audience.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Kenny have been in DDT for many, many years.
Yeah.
Kenny considers Nakazawa one of his best. How did you guys kind of first meet, run that down, and then just this buildup of the comedy, the entertaining, also mixed in with genuine style? Like, Nakazawa knows his moves.
Yep.
Tell me a little bit about that.
What should I say?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I want to make it – I'll tell the quick version.
Yeah.
Quick version is that Nakazawa was the only person in DDT that could speak English.
Mm-hmm.
And so naturally, by me going to DDT when there were no other foreigners there, they needed an English speaker. Of course, I didn't speak any Japanese when I first made my debut in 2008. And so they set Nakazawa up to, I guess, just introduce me to people, you know, show me around, take me to the gym, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, on the first day, he didn't pick me up at the airport, but he met me at the dormitory afterwards. And we were able to see the town, have a meal. That's when I first met Ibushi.
Mm-hmm.
We met some nice sponsors of ours that lived at a Buddhist temple.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember that name.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, so we ate with their family. We ate with another wrestler named Cherry. I don't know if you remember Cherry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and from there, we just, maybe just because it was Nak's job, we hung out every day,
mm-hmm.
and he would show me things, but then we just became friends for real, and
right, and
we just kept hanging out and kept talking, even when I went to New Japan, kept talking, and
mm-hmm.
even though Nak moved to Thailand,
yeah,
and Singapore for a little while, or Vietnam too, right?
Actually, Singapore first, and
Vietnam,
Thai.
Yeah, Singapore,
Vietnam,
Thai.
Yeah, just a little bit, for a
mm-hmm.
month or so. But yeah,
yep.
Mostly Thailand. Yeah.
But we still kept in touch. And, you know, I thought in the back of my mind, if there's ever an opportunity at any point to get back together, then I would make sure that I would take that chance. And so the first chance was to have Nat come out last year for the New Japan show.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, New Japan wouldn't allow him to be on the main card, but he, you know, was able to get him on the darks. And then this year, you know, he's actually an official member of AEW, so he was on the darks.
And I remember you telling me, like I wasn't really planning to wrestle a match last year, but Kenny's like, I got a guy, he's perfect for you, this will be great. And then I'm training hard, injure myself, still do that and stuff. But that was a lot of fun. Like, I had a great time. And it's crazy, you know, people ask me, like, how did I feel out there? So much adrenaline goes through you. I did not feel shit. Like, I literally, actually, every time I got hit, I was like, give me another one. Like, I was excited to get hit. It gave me just a feeling of, not confidence is a weird word, just enjoyment of seeing people react to every single thing we were doing. So we did that. And then we did this match. Obviously, we got 10 minutes, which was, you know, we were actually supposed to have a few more minutes, but because of another match going a little longer, they cut it. And that's where it was a challenge for me, learning to piece everything together. And that's what makes you guys so great, kind of being there and just seeing people, you know, put together these incredible matches where it's so much you have to think about, remember
the
timing, how to do it, trust each other. So that's something I got to appreciate learning from, you know, couple of the best in the world. And, you know, I was backstage before a match asking everybody, like, what's your best advice? You know, this is very, means a lot to me. Like, just have fun out there, connect with the crowd. And we did that, right? How did the fight stick hurt when I hit you in the back? Did you feel that?
Yeah. But it wasn't too bad.
But people love that.
Same as you. I had so much adrenaline inside me. So it didn't hurt too much.
I had welts on my back for like about a week. So you guys, you know, have been connected. Now it comes full circle, right? Like, your best friends that you trust, if you get to end up working together, that's what makes life go around.
Right.
So are you excited about AEW? Like, how do you feel about everything going in? I know you've been helping with the Japanese wrestlers. A lot of people have been very interested in the Joshis. Kenny, we know he's been helping a lot with them. You have more experience over in Japan with the Joshis and working with DDT and all the other ones. What has that been like, seeing more Japanese talent come into AEW in America and helping them?
Yeah, of course. But actually, Kenny has more knowledge about, you know, Joshi wrestlers in Japan than I do.
Okay.
Yeah, so, well, but yeah, it's, yeah, there, but I know some of the Joshi wrestlers in Japan, they are so good, but they just didn't have the chance to, you know, introduce themselves to the world.
Right.
So, you know, and then Kenny, he is going to open the door for them, and I'm going to help them, you know, so that's great. I mean, you know,
Awesome. Kenny, how do you feel about the Joshi wrestlers in general? Obviously, I know how you feel, but.
Right. I've always been the biggest supporter of them. I've always thought that their style was, especially the styles of the girls that I'm bringing in here to AEW, they have such a unique sense of style and a unique type of passion for what they do. And, you know, I just, if people can see it in the same way that I do and appreciate it in the same way that I do, I think it really is going to be a game changer for all of women's wrestling. I see a lot of what they show on American TV and even a lot of what people consider is the best type of wrestling. And to me, I don't share the same opinion. I always appreciate the effort that goes into everything. You know, it's not easy to do what we do. But if I'm to call a spade, I just think that there is a more beautiful style out there that I think more people can appreciate from all walks of life. And it's the same way that I sort of viewed my own type of style that I try to develop. I saw the current day professional wrestling. I saw what people were saying was the best. I saw the people that people were calling the best, and I saw the matches that people said were the best, and I looked at it from my own perspective, and I thought, if I was a non-fan, which I wasn't really a fan of wrestling anymore, I was just a guy that was wrestling, I didn't see the hype behind it. I could understand it because I used to be a professional wrestling fan, but I couldn't see how that would attract new people, what people were gawking about would be the key to a new age of professional wrestling, a way to usher in new fans. It just wasn't, I didn't see it there. And I thought that there's a little bit of a disconnect. And so, you know, I developed something new. something that I believed in. And I was lucky that, you know, in some cases, not in all, but in some cases, I was able to introduce some new people that weren't privy to professional wrestling, and they became new fans. And I've met a lot of great new people that way. And some of my non-wrestling fans that are fans of me, you know, there's some of the fans that I'm most proud of, and people that I can have wonderful, intelligent conversations with, you know, as opposed to the types of comments that I receive on a daily basis on social media. And so, you know, with the new type of Joshi style that I'm trying to show, which is not really actually new, it's been around forever. You know, I'm just trying to open the world's eyes to a new style. And I hope that if you like something, you know, from your local indie or from the major leagues or from, you know, another promotion, even in Japan, I'm hoping that the people that I'm showing, you can keep an open mind to and enjoy their style as well. Because to me, I think that is my favorite and the way of the future.
Right. So speaking of dream matches and all the opponents, you are continue to wrestle a lot of international talent. And obviously speaking Japanese has been huge, and I admire anybody who can do that because it's not easy to learn a second language later into your life. SEMA, tell everybody you know about SEMA. Obviously has a huge history in Japan. Mm-hmm. OWE, mm-hmm. Oriental Wrestling. What's the E stand for?
Entertainment.
Oriental Wrestling Entertainment.
Okay, yeah. So how was wrestling your match in SEMA? And me as a fan, you know, watching, I was at Fight for Fallen, Fighter Fest, Double or Nothing. You guys continue to have, like, say your final five matches, totally something different offering every single one. They're special in their own way.
Yeah.
Your match was another high-quality match. What was it like wrestling with SEMA after knowing this person all these years and finally getting the chance?
Yeah, so he was a dude that really revolutionized Japanese professional wrestling and doesn't really get any credit for it. There were guys, you know, nowadays you get people say that, hey, you know, Naito's the best. Okada's the best. You know, they're the greatest wrestlers of all time. God damn it. And people don't really give credit where credit's due because they think that they just showed up back in Japan and they had this new style that no one had ever seen before. But really, you know, the guy that actually came in and helped develop the amalgamation of Lucha professional wrestling and strong style professional wrestling was SEMA. Sure, Ultimo Dragon kind of helped train his students, his first brand of students, but SEMA was really the one to take that style, to evolve that style, where it was a mixture of you know, Lucha Libre and Japanese strong style. But then you toss in like the North American type of charisma with that. SEMA was the guy that did that. He was the guy that gave birth to, you know, the boom that was of the Dragon Gate era. And, you know, of course, he long since disappeared from Dragon Gate, and, you know, he wasn't able to leave his mark on the world, probably due to the times. You know, like now we live in a digital age, so it's so much easier to be visible. But, you know, SEMA just barely missed the digital era stage of things in professional wrestling. So it's a shame that no one really, I mean, that people know who he is. But there's a group of people when they had announced, you know, SEMA versus Kenny, and they'd be like, well, how is this supposed to be a dream match? Like, I don't even know who this guy is. And, you know, to me, it kind of hurts my feelings that no one knew his contributions to professional wrestling and just how good that he was. I mean, he's not old, but he's not young either. And he still moves at an incredible pace. And he's still one of the greatest performers in the world today, you know, much like a Christopher Daniels is for someone who at his age is still moving better than someone half his age.
Love his backflip.
Yeah. So, you know, SEMA is one of those types of guys, deserves more credit for introducing the Lucha-esque style to the world. And that's the same style. Like I said, that's like, you know, you guys love your Naitos. Well, guess what? That's SEMA's style. You love your Okadas? Oh, guess what? That's SEMA's style. It wouldn't have existed without him. You like your Hiromus? That's SEMA too. You love your Shingo Takagis? Oh, guess what? That's also SEMA. You need to give him credit for that. So don't think that these guys are just, you know, washed up or that they're nobodies or they did nothing. This is all because of that man. So I was very honored to have that match with SEMA.
Awesome. How was that meteor on the table?
Yeah, I don't know. How's my jaw? How's my cheekbone? How's my eye socket? I took it for the team. I knew that table wasn't going anywhere. I was expecting to take it more in a different part of my body. But hey, I mean, it just, you got to take your licks. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. But overall, Fight for Fallen, Fighter Fest, those are now in the past. Next up, you guys are going to Mexico.
Yep.
And then after that is pretty much All Out is the next big stop, isn't it?
Yep.
So what are you looking forward to most? Having obviously Moxley, a big name in AEW now. Tell me about what you're looking forward to with that match.
I'm always looking forward to testing myself in new styles. And Moxley has a very unique brawling type of style. It's very physical. And, you know, he doesn't care about his own safety. Obviously, he doesn't care about his opponent's safety. And that excites me. So I think, you know, when you would get something very technical, like you would with myself and Seema, you're going to get something completely different with myself and Moxley. And for me, you know, it's, I wouldn't necessarily call it a challenge. Maybe that's the wrong word for it. But to step out of my comfort zone and in a high stakes setting and show people, you know, that this is AEW and that this is, you know, who we are. And this is something worth being exciting for or excited for. That part of it is cool for me. And I'm glad I could be one of the guys that they rely on to have these types of performances. And I think it's going to be a good match. And I think you're going to see some of me that you've never seen before. And I think you're going to see a side of Mox that you've probably never seen before.
Awesome. Nakazawa, I know we've wrestled twice.
Yeah.
your last two American appearances. Out of all the roster of AEW, who do you think you would like to face?
In the future?
Yeah.
Well, I'm interested in wrestling against Orange Cassidy.
Oh, yeah. Maybe, he is hilarious, yeah.
Maybe. Or Jungle Boy, yeah, he can be a good opponent for me. Yeah,
nice.
I can bully him.
Yeah.
yeah.
You and MGF, you'd be two heels going at it, so that'd be tough. See who's the bigger asshole. So yeah, that's a lot of the wrestling side of things. As you know, Kenny Omega is a huge gamer. Nakazawa has been playing a lot of games with us. I'm going to pause this episode because these go on 30-minute spurts, and then I will continue the rest shortly after this message. There's no message, just hold on.